This episode of The Drive with Lante and Derek Piper is brought to you by Two Men in a Truck, Movers Who Care. Visit them online at twomenchampagne.com for a free estimate.
Hey, good morning.
Radio Street Trevor. Forecast brought to you by the Illini Inn. Lon was there.
Yeah, Saturday.
He watched the Illini beat Michigan State.
Yeah.
You can get all sorts of new appetizers there. They're not really new anymore. I feel like I've been saying them for a month or two now, but you can get mouthwatering burgers, hand-tossed pizzas, nachos, mozzarella sticks,
wings, grinders,
beer. Did you figure out who was the 100,000th member?
No, I keep forgetting to ask, and Josh wasn't there. I would have asked.
I keep sending you on location for that purpose, and then you keep letting me down.
Am I able to turn in my receipts?
Maybe.
Okay, because those are getting a little heavy.
I don't know if I really need to tell anyone the weather, but it's snowing. It's going to keep snowing until 6 o'clock. It's kind of slippery out there right now.
It is slick.
The roads are still a little slick. They're working their hardest, but it was a little dicey getting in here, so definitely plan for an extra 10 or 15 minutes to wherever you need to go. Right now it is 22 and snowing, getting down to 14. A wind chill advisory tomorrow. The high is going to be 9. The high is going to be 9.
What?
Tomorrow.
Can everybody just take the day off?
Yeah, let's do it.
Let's just, everybody gets tomorrow off.
Okay. It is so ordered.
Yep, done.
It's 22 and snowing, ESPN Radio.
I-L-L.
Williams in motion. Lewerke on the keep. Lewerke with running room. Looking for a block. He got one. And Lewerke needs no more blocking as he's in for the touchdown. Lewerke, all day to throw. Williams, and Williams fumbles the football. Ball is out. Williams muffed it to start and coughed it up at the end. Michigan State football. Collins, what a hesitation. That hesitation brought him the corner and the touchdown.
Oh, no. We suck again. Not so fast.
First down, Lewerke. Deflected, and it's intercepted by Sidney Brown. Pocket collapsing. Peters steps up. Toss it for the end zone. That's what they made. Floats it for Emmanuel Bebe, who's got it down the sideline. Stiff arches, and Emmanuel Bebe is going to take it 83 yards for the touchdown.
What it do, baby?
Yeah. Illinois hurrying up. Corbin with the carry. Cuts it back inside the five. Into the end zone for the touchdown. And Illinois is within one score in East Lansing.
And what is going on?
From the 25-yard line where it's first down and a snap gets past Lewerke. Lewerke's in trouble. The ball is still out. Gets the snap, floats it up for Emmanuel Bebe, and it's intercepted by Shakur Brown. Brown with the pick, and down at the 10.
Terrible throw.
Dang nabbit.
I go top.
The working. There it is. Look in that direction.
And it's intercepted. He threw it right to Sidney Brown. And Brown with room down the sideline. Brown, he's going to take it all the way for the touchdown.
Oh, my God. Okay, it's happening. Everybody stay calm.
What's the procedure, everyone? What's the procedure?
Stay calm.
Keeps Michigan State in the lead by the slimmest of margins. Fourth and 16. Pressure comes. Emmanuel Bebe with the ball in the air. Makes the catch. He's down at the 20-yard line.
I cannot believe it. Get it.
Navarro in motion. Peters on the roll.
That's what I expected.
Looking for the end zone. Throw.
What does that do? Did that blow your mind?
That just happened.
As the return for Barnett, trying to get to the edge. 1 second left, and that's it. Zeros on the clock, and Illinois completes the largest comeback in school history. And Lovie Smith and the Illini are going bowling in 2019.
We're going bowling.
Stop me now. I'm having such a good time. I'm having a ball.
All right. Admittedly, that was put together by the Jeremy Warner Show. We appreciate them letting us use their intro. This song is weird.
But listen, highlights courtesy of FS1. Illinois gets it done at East Lansing. I've got the man, Isaac Trotter, in studio. He was there, and he had an interesting story about how he had to get down to the field and almost missed the stinking thing at the end. Trevor Valise is back.
Hi.
How are you, buddy?
I'm good.
Good. I know that was a long week for you.
Yeah, that's okay. Ready to be back.
Yeah. Hopefully it was one that you guys
What did I miss?
Well, you missed a lot. I'm not going to lie to you. Derek Piper, who normally sits in the seat you're in, somehow had a flight canceled to Chicago.
Quote
right. Uh-huh. Do you think he got to the airport and he's like, is there any chance that that flight leaves? And they're like, well, this one is, but the next one we're canceling. All right, well, can you get me on the next one? Because I don't want to go home. I don't blame him. That has happened to me a few times where you get stuck where you're at, and it really does mess up your entire life. Because, you know, you've got everything planned. It's like, all right, I'm getting back from vacation. I've got to get to work. I've got to do this. And then all of a sudden, there's nothing you can do. Nothing. Yeah. Unless you want to get in the car and drive from Arizona, but you're not going to get her by tomorrow. Well, you would, I guess, 24 hours. But so Derek is going to be in tomorrow. Hopefully he has a safe flight back. And you'll
is
hear,
he? When's his flight?
Well, that's a good point. I don't know.
I guess we'll talk to him at 5 and see.
Yeah. I think he said, no, that's true. He's going to join us at 5:05. I thought he said he'd be back for tomorrow. Somebody just said, I've been parked on Route 74, I'm sorry, Interstate 74 East for 2 hours, 10 minutes. Cheer me up with some Illini talk. Kudos to you. We're going to do that. Ken says, good intro. Props to Sidney Brown. Great to see his improvement. Sidney Brown was the co-defensive Big Ten player of the week. Josh Imatorbebe. I still can't say that.
You just said it.
Okay. Co-offensive player of the week. Guys, I don't know where to begin. There were two basketball games. Illinois won Friday night against Grand Canyon. Ho-hum, right? Kind of not spectacular, but they get it done. They get blown out last night in a game that was close up to about 50-50 or so, and then they end up losing 90-69. Let's worry about that later. Is that cool?
That's fine.
Because, in fact, we'll talk to Derek Piper at 5:05. We'll get more nitty-gritty on Illinois basketball. But, Trevor, what you did miss, and this is where I'm going to shut up, I asked who was it? Who was in here? Was it Pipes?
No, it was Austin.
What am I thinking here? I've had so many. So I asked Austin and Isaac, what would you take this weekend in terms of number of wins? All three of us agreed two. And the one that we wanted the most happened, and that was Saturday, the game at Michigan State. I'm going to shut up. What was it like for you guys as Illinois fans? Isaac, I'll let you go last because I know your experience was a lot better. You were there. But what was it like, Trevor, to get those two wins, one win in basketball Friday, the one win Saturday, and then, of course, the loss to Arizona, but pretty cool weekend.
Yeah, I mean, the Friday was kind of whatever.
Yeah.
The Grand Canyon game was never completely in control. It felt like you were always teetering between somewhere between 6 and 12 points up. When you had a few chances to really put it away, you didn't.
No.
More sloppiness. You obviously saw it a lot more last night in terms of basketball. So Friday night, my takeaway was kind of, they won. That's fine. Andres Feliz is a beast. Kofi's a beast. We'll figure the rest out later. I'm glad they got the win.
Amen.
Because that seemed like a tough place to play.
Yeah.
The TV broadcast was great. I did enjoy it. It seemed like it was a loud atmosphere. It seemed like it was, I mean, they call themselves Havoc for a reason.
Right.
Clearly, they were better than they were in their first game against D2 Davenport when they lost at home, Grand Canyon was. Clearly, they were up for that game. Obviously, Saturday was the main focus of all of our weekends, I think. Although, Sunday night beforehand, you could probably argue, was a pretty important game as well. But the real crucial thing this weekend was the football game. And Michigan State just comes out of the gates hot.
Wow.
It's 28-3, about to be 35-3, and we just recorded a 200 level. We were talking about this on there. How many fringe moments did you have in this football season during this run where it could have easily gone the other way?
Yes.
Jonathan Taylor fumbling when he was almost down. If they had punched it in on that drive, it would have been 31-13 Wisconsin at that point. Same thing in this game. When it's 28-3, you get the interception in the end zone. You don't score off that possession. You give it right back. And that was one of those moments where I thought, that was your chance right there.
I agree.
You get another interception, and then you do score off of that one. There were so many points in this game where Illinois did something that was characteristic of this stretch they've had but then weren't able to capitalize off of it.
Yeah.
And I thought that that was going to lead to this game being different than the previous three, but they just kept coming back.
They did, and the luck has been on Illinois' side a bit. I mean, you have to force, you have to make that luck a little bit.
They were extremely lucky with the end of that game.
No
I
doubt.
Mean, I'm not trying to be harsh after a win, but that was a bungled series of plays at the end of that game with the substitution and the clock ran. I didn't love the fade call. You get the pass interference on it.
Yep.
Dre Brown doesn't touch the ball once on five straight goal line plays. Brandon Peters had some kind of weird QB blast. Didn't love that. He falls down on the first down.
Right.
There were a lot of things in that game that led to me thinking Illinois is not going to be able to pull this out. The missed extra point, which actually ended up helping you
because
you had to go for the touchdown instead of the tie. And there's just so many things in that game had to break Illinois' way.
Clock running. You had substituted early in the game. I know Lovie Smith. Maybe not Lovie. I think it probably was Lovie. Kind of took advantage of Michigan State doing a late sub, and then he kind of subbed slowly. And Michigan State, I thought, man, they've got a chance to do that, and they didn't. All right, Isaac, a win is a win, though, and it's a big win. Illinois at Michigan State, you were there. What was it like?
That was probably the best college football game I've ever seen in my life. That was unbelievable. And so it was so interesting because at the beginning of this game, when Illinois came out and looked not even close to Michigan State, they looked like they were completely different teams. Michigan State looked like a good varsity team. Illinois looked like a really bad B freshman team, right? That's how the difference of that game looked at the beginning. And it just was felt like Illinois was not even going to get close to competing. We're back to all these issues. Jake Hansen is out with an injury. Ricky Smalling's out with an injury. Wally Batiku's out with an injury. You're seeing Milo Eifler punches a guy in the back.
Well, we didn't see it.
Well, yeah.
I guess it
happened. He did punch him.
Yeah, he did punch him.
Well, I know.
So he's out. So now you're down two linebackers. You're down two defensive ends. Jamal Woods goes out with another injury. And you're like, well, shoot, is this going to be 63-3? And at one point, it's 28-3. It's about to be 35-3. And Illinois finds a way. And just to be a part of that moment and just to see that 27 points against one of the best defenses in the country in the final 15 minutes just spoke to me so much about how magical this season is. This is a magical year.
It really is.
You talk about some of these seasons on the precipice type of moments. I think Michigan, when you're down 28-0, is a season on the precipice moment. And to get back into that game.
Yep.
Wisconsin, you talk about the Jonathan Taylor fumble. That's big. I also go back to the goal line stand in that game that forced the field goal that kept that game close.
Yeah, the tackle on the one.
Absolutely. And even today against Michigan State on Saturday, there was another goal line stand and another couple interceptions. And those interceptions in the first half that kept that game close ended up mattering late. And Illinois didn't do anything right in that game. They didn't do anything right. They get a fumble at the 12-yard line and throw an interception in the end zone because the wide receiver runs the wrong route. They have multiple bad tackling things that happened in that first half. They have two linebackers, Dawson DeGroote and Caleb Tolson, who played horrible football in that first half and gave up a ton of big plays. They miss an extra point when they're supposed to tie it.
That's a recipe for disaster,
right?
Yeah.
And they win that game.
And you win.
This is just a magical, magical season. I was so lucky to be on the sideline for the finish of that. That was so much fun.
Six wins, and there's so many different plays you can look at. You talk about Trevor, Dre Brown not getting the touch after he had run on a screen.
That was another great play where, again, I'm going, really, a screen right here?
Right.
But Dre Brown is Dre Brown. And it's just, to me, he's one of those guys that does not go down.
No.
So when you have the ball in the one, and then subsequently the four after Peters falls down. To me, I would just feed it to him
just
four straight times.
Him.
But I understand the situation. You didn't have any timeouts. The clock was running.
Yep.
So I do understand that. But again, you point to if Peters doesn't fall down, say Illinois scores, Michigan State hadn't called any other timeouts yet. So if, say, Peters didn't fall down in that first and goal with about 45 seconds left and
they score.
Michigan State would have all three timeouts and a chance to come back.
That's fair.
So, again, something that didn't go Illinois' way ended up helping them in the end by him falling down just like the missed extra point, just like all those little things in the game. I mean, when you have the largest comeback in school history, there's a million things to point to that led to it. But it's ridiculous how many things didn't go Illinois' way that helped contribute to the win.
It's even funny that on that screen, Dre, as we're watching this, right, we were in Illini and then we shifted to Bunnies. Had to meet somebody. So we're watching this, and Dre Brown runs into one of our guys, right? I don't remember who the offensive tackle was, but I'm like, no, get out of the way. And you're right. Then it ends up, well, on the winning touchdown, Dre Brown had a great block.
Yeah, good block.
Of Noah, whatever his name was. Talking a lot
Lewerke.
Of smack.
Or not Lewerke. I apologize. Kenny Willekes.
Oh, was it? I thought he blocked the 45, the linebacker that was having such a good day that was filling
in. That's right.
It was Noah whomever. It doesn't matter. You were going to say something.
Yeah, I think that when we have to remember, like, how much this game means for Illinois football in the long run, because now you have an opportunity to really open up the door here. If Illinois is 5-5, we're really stressed about this next couple games. Yeah. Iowa could be a struggle. I mean, Northwestern.
Because you're kind of assuming that Northwestern's there, right? Sure. But if you're going into that game at 5-6 and Pat Fitzgerald is getting his team up for stopping your team from getting into a bowl game, I'm not feeling 100% about that.
And now you can breathe a little bit if you're Illinois.
Monkey off the back.
It's not just us that could breathe. It's other people and on this team that can breathe. And now you can see Illinois go, hey, we're playing with house money.
Yep.
And we got a chance to maybe go 7-5 or 8-4 even. And I think that that's a big thing here. But one of the most, you know, beautiful moments of this game was the hug between Lovie Smith and Josh Whitman at the end of this thing.
No doubt. Props to you for capturing it.
That was, I just stood right by Josh and just was waiting for him and Lovie to meet. And Josh picks up Lovie and gives him the biggest bear hug I've ever seen. And that matters.
Yeah.
In other places, football doesn't necessarily matter as much. A sixth win doesn't matter as much for some other program.
Sure.
For Illinois in this time, in this season, with this athletic director, with that coach, in this where this program is headed, that sixth win meant so much to everybody. It meant so much to the 2,000 fans that packed in that little corner of the end zone to celebrate that win with their team. And Robert Rosenthal's right in the middle of that. But it mattered so much to their athletic director. You're not going to find many athletic directors that care as much as Josh Whitman does. I think a lot of people care.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of athletic directors care. But this one was personal, and that win was personal, and that was really, really amazing.
Well, there's numerous reasons. You got a guy, Josh Whitman, that played for Illinois. He was in a program and on a team that didn't win anything, all right, his first year or something, and then they end up getting to a bowl game. So he kind of understands what it takes as a player to get to that level, and now as an administrator, you know, the other thing is he's got a lot on the line there, right? He's given Lovie Smith a ton of money for 6 years, and it was going splendidly bad for so long, and then now all of a sudden it's turned around, so I'm sure there's a little bit of that, thank you. Thank you for getting me off the hook here, because now we're starting to see it. But I have to believe, and I mean this, that Josh Whitman from day one has always believed that Lovie Smith was going to get this program to where it was. That win to get to six, you said it. Now you kind of are playing with house money. Definitely playing with house money. You have made your goal now of getting to a bowl game. Now you want more, and you should, right? Because you know you've got Northwestern coming in, a team that hasn't won in the Big Ten. I'm with you, though, Trevor. That's a team that, you know, Pat Fitzgerald's going to be like, hey, if we do one thing right this year, let's spoil it for Illinois, especially if the Illini would have been with 5 wins going into that. But now you go to Iowa after a bye week. Now the bye week rests on a perfect time.
Great time for
you. Give Hansen a break. You give Wally a break. Hopefully get some of these guys rested and back. And even the guys that played against Michigan State a chance to rest and get back. But now you go into Iowa in a couple weeks and you just kind of say, you know what? Let's have some fun.
I don't think 63-0 isn't on their minds, right?
That's
what happened last year.
Amen. Yeah, so you get that? I mean, you got a shot, like you said, for 8 wins and maybe a Gator Bowl, you know, maybe something like that. That would be incredible.
Think about where you were, though, a month ago. I mean,
that's what's so weird about it, right? Yeah, like, we're talking about 8 weird. Wins in a season when you lost to Eastern Michigan at home.
It's just shocking. And even Nebraska was a really bad loss.
It
you're up by 14, and you have everything go right for you in that game, and you find a way to lose it. So I think it is really, really interesting. I think that when you head into Iowa, the confidence that I have right now in Brandon Peters is at an all-time high.
Mm-hmm.
Brandon Peters has been embattled all season long. Everybody on Twitter, everybody around this program has given him a lot of grief, and it's been fair and it's been warranted. And he had, you know, 5 straight Big Ten games coming into this one where he didn't complete 10 passes in a game.
Right.
So I get all of those things. But Brandon Peters won you that game on Saturday. He was an absolute baller. He stood in the pocket and took hit after hit. I think Michigan State finished with 12 or 13 quarterback
hits.
He got
sacked the play before the 4th and 16, right?
Right. Yeah, and for a guy that's confidence matters so much to him, for him to still go out there. I mean, he was 22 of 42 for 369 yards and 3 touchdowns and just 1 interception, which Josh Madderbaby would tell you it was his fault, not Brandon's fault for that interception. So Brandon Peters went out and won you that game, and now that confidence that you have in him and this offense to go along with what your defense has proven they're going to do every time and take the ball away. Illinois has a recipe to beat Iowa. Illinois has a recipe to beat Northwestern. And look, it's not out of the realm of possibility Illinois wins 9 games.
Yeah. I mean, it's crazy.
And I guess
it?
I knew this, but during the game, Matt Millen was mentioning on TV, this is Brandon Peters' 13th start.
Right.
And in the back of my mind, I kind of had to just slightly recalibrate because as a fan, you kind of get the, well, he's coming from Michigan, he's been there 3 years.
Exactly.
Thing. And so here I am thinking he's some sort of grizzled five-year guy or something. This is a 13th career start as a college quarterback. So it's not like he's been doing this for years and years, right? I mean, he had a few with Michigan, and now these with Illinois, and he's been hurt this year, too.
Yep.
And to Isaac's point, he's been smacked around. Some of that's the offensive line's fault for sure, but in this game, he was mauled, and he kept making great throws. Obviously, the 4th and 16 will kind of
throw was incredible.
Go down as a piece of Illini lore right there.
If you go back and watch that, and I know you guys have watched it 20 times.
That was
like
a weird play call, too.
It really
great
is.
Play call. Genius, but for like a split second, there's three Michigan State defenders rushing right at Brandon with nobody blocking him.
No.
And they brought in two extra defenders to block for Brandon. Yep. Like, they only send three guys deep.
It's like, go ahead.
17.
And he starts rolling right and kind of has this back foot throw, and I'm going, dear God, this is not going
to
work.
And if you follow the arc of that ball, how pretty it is to watch in the air, and then it just slowly comes down. It's almost like it was just meant to be. Almost like Michigan State was like, all right, listen, we're going to let you get this. Because, I mean, the defender is running right with with Bebe, and then for some reason keeps getting behind him. And then, you know, Josh just turns around. The ball just falls right to him. But it's think of this, and then we got to catch a break. I mean, that's what these kids do. That's why they're elite athletes, but they catch the ball, right? But how easy would it be for Josh to accidentally lose? I saw a tight end for the Arizona Cardinals yesterday drop a touchdown pass when there was nobody around him.
I was worried Barker was going to drop it because he was so wide open
exactly
in the back of the end zone.
So Bebe makes this unbelievable catch on that. How about Caleb Reams on that same drive?
Excellent catch.
I don't know how he caught that.
After dropping one earlier that hit him right between the one and the three.
Yep.
But that catch by Reams and that catch by Bebe says a lot about this program, because Reams is part of a recruiting class, this group of seniors that's was not highly ranked.
Not at all.
Kids.
Right? And they have come out and played great. Milan
maybe was
great.
Maybe it was a cast off from USC.
Sure.
Right?
Trey Brown. Yeah.
It's just unbelievable. All of these guys, all of these seniors that have played such big roles were not wanted, you know, either cast offs or just like, oh, and they thought that they weren't very good. And you're getting the best football out of their careers from Milan and Tymer Oliver. Stanley Green was awesome. Dele Harding is playing the best football of his career. And it's just magical. And
it's
kind of what you want. It's kind of what you want. And I just think it's so important that we enjoy this.
Yeah.
This is really fun.
Yeah.
And I think we might look back in 5 or 6 years ago, man, that 2019 Illinois football season, that was really cool.
There's one thing I hope.
Really cool.
There's one thing I hope. I hope it's just not a moment.
Well, you've already had two.
No, but I mean
Michigan
the season.
Win.
I hope the season isn't just a moment.
But I'm saying it's kind of that part of that helped flip with this. The narrative changed a little bit for me with this win because I think if you lose this game 42-3, let's say, then you're going, okay, Wisconsin was great. Purdue was in a rain-soaked game. And
right.
Purdue was missing like 8 of their 11 starters on one side of the ball. And Rutgers.
Yep.
So then you're kind of going like, okay, so was it just Wisconsin and nothing else? This speaks to the fact that I think there's longevity to this.
Oh, I hope. Because I've been through these moments. I've been through 2001 when they won the Big Ten out of nowhere. I've been through 2007.
No, you're right.
I want the sustainability, and
the
I feel like
there.
That was the reason Lovey was brought here, to get that sustainability, and the schedule's definitely there.
You want this to be the start to good football, and to be this is the year that really you saw it kind of get over the hump, and now we're going to continue and build off that. I get that. This is the time, and next year's roster sets up for that thing
big time.
To go along with next year's schedule.
Yeah, both do, and we can kind of look at that as we go through. If you want to follow us, by the way, on Twitter, just search at The Drive 93.5.
I don't have it in front of me, but you can get our podcast on Podbean, iTunes, any other podcast platform, or on YouTube. Just search The Drive with Tay and Piper.
Got it.
Although Piper's in Arizona, maybe there's a separate YouTube stream of him chilling in the Tucson desert.
Probably.
Not really sure. What'd you have for lunch?
What did I eat?
Oh, we never do this anymore.
A bowl of stew.
Oh, a bowl of stew.
Yeah, just a bowl of stew, which I felt fitting on a day like today.
It's true.
Right? With snow all around. We don't do that anymore. You're right. If you want to weigh in, 359-2255, you can call us. Derek and I are pushing that all the time. 217-359-2255. Let's hear your excitement towards the Illinois football. I'm going to try to stay football this hour. We'll talk to Derek Piper at 5:05, and we'll get more to Illinois basketball. But right now, the story, of course, is Lovie Smith and this crew.
We've also got a Stever offer.
Yeah, we do. I was going to talk about that.
5:30, Rosati's, $30 vouchers. We've done it a few times, but we can do it again. Chicago-style pizza, thin and deep dish. Gluten-free crust options now as well.
Go to GhostFever.com if you don't already have an account. Make sure you're registered. 5:30, it's going to go live. I'm hitting the button.
Awesome.
So get ready at 5:30 to claim a Rosati's $30 voucher.
Let's do it. We're back. It is The Drive.
Illini pizza fans, the world doesn't need more pizza. It just needs better pizza, like Jets Detroit-style pizza. Now get their deep dish duo, a small one-topping Detroit-style pizza plus deep dish bread. Just $12.99. Code DUO1. Jets. Better because it has to be.
Hey, Illini fans. Game Day Spirit's the official fan store of the Fighting Illini, and they have all you need to get geared up and show your support for your favorite team. Whether you're looking for new outerwear to take on the cold, stylish gear to wear to a game, or a gift from the diehard Illini fan in your life, Game Day Spirit has you covered. Game Day Spirit's every Illini fan's one-stop shop, with stores at the corner of 6th and Green in Campustown, the corner of Neal and Kirby in Champaign, and online 24/7 at GameDaySpirit.com. Come in and see what's new. Go Illini!
Napa know-how.
Right now, only at Napa, AAA members get a 20% discount, so you can avoid getting stranded on the side of the road by picking up some quality parts like batteries, brake pads, and more. Meaning you can prevent the problem before it ever becomes a problem. Bravo. That's 20% off for AAA members. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
At participating Napa Auto Parts stores. Exclusions apply. May not be combined with other offers. Offer ends 11/30/19.
It's time for some straight talk. You know those football players who are all talk, no show? Well, big wireless carriers aren't much different. Well, Straight Talk Wireless doesn't give you the hype, just the savings. For just $45 a month, you'll get the unlimited plan with 25 gigs of high-speed data, then 2G. No contract. All on the same 4G LTE networks as the big guys, but up to half the cost. Savings delivered right to your wallet. Only at Walmart. Savings may vary. See terms and conditions at straighttalk.com.
Jay Lehman is back on the Jeremy Warner Show this fall.
I tell Lisa Byington, like, I have never seen Wisconsin get schemed up like they're getting schemed up on someplace. Because I saw some chunk runs. I saw Navarro's pass. I haven't seen that this year.
Get the insight from the former All-American Illini linebacker and Rose Bowl team captain. Catch him on Monday morning starting at 10 a.m. as he talks Illini football and breaks down the rest of the Big Ten. Thanks to Molitor Financial Group and Dick Van Dyke Appliance World. Don't miss a thing. And be sure to check out our podcast online at ESPNCU.
An ESPN Radio Extra Point with Mike Golic, Trey Wingo, and Mike Golic Jr.
The Cowboys are the Cowboys. They're going to generate the headlines. They're going to get all the ratings. They always do that stuff. But let's not get it twisted. This game Sunday night was way more about Minnesota yeah. than Dallas. They played without their best run stuffer, Linval Joseph. They played without their best cover corner in Trey Waynes. And they played without arguably their best wide receiver. And they still had enough to get a job done on the road against a quality opponent. This was more about the Vikings making a statement than anything you can say about the Dallas Cowboys, because this is who the Cowboys are.
I mean, this was the game that makes Mike Zimmer's heart sing, right? They would rush the ball 10 straight times and cap it off, looked like a one-yard touchdown run at the end of that. That's the one that we saw depart during that stretch after the Kirk Cousins apology tour,
yep.
but it is one that he brought back, and he brought back famously.
Hear more from Golic and Wingo tomorrow morning on ESPN Radio.
Whether you're on the construction site or in the office managing properties, Lowe's saves pros of all trades on what you need to get the job done right. Like a Metabo HPT 1¾-inch 15-degree pneumatic roofing nailer for $40 less, now just $249. And load up on appliance savings with up to 40% off select appliance special values. Plus, for one day only, save an additional 5% just by using your Lowe's business credit account. Do it right for less. Start with Lowe's. Tool offer valid through 11/20. Appliance offer valid through 12/5. Credit offer valid 11/12. Subject to credit approval. Exclusions apply. U.S. only.
It's time for some straight talk. You know those football players who are all talk, no show? Well, big wireless carriers aren't much different. Well, Straight Talk Wireless doesn't give you the hype, just the savings. For just $45 a month, you'll get the unlimited plan with 25 gigs of high-speed data, then 2G. No contract. All on the same 4G LTE networks as the big guys, but up to half the cost. Savings delivered right to your wallet. Only at Walmart. Savings may vary. See terms and conditions at straighttalk.com.
I'm on my way to the big game. Number one versus number two in the polls. Got a tailgate spot, got the 50-yard line seats, and nothing will stop me from getting to my game.
Oh no, it's my stupid car battery. I've had this thing for a long time. I'm out in the middle of nowhere without a cell phone signal.
Don't be like this, superfan. Come into Interstate All Battery Center in Champaign. They have a free battery test, no appointment needed. If you need a new car battery, they will find the perfect battery for your car or truck. So power into Interstate All Battery Center on North Madison, Champaign.
Chef Thad Morrow talks about the newest restaurant in Champaign-Urbana. It's Naya Restaurant, located at 212 East Green Street.
Yeah, I think it's perfect for a date night. You know, you can, you know, come to, you know, campus town. You can stroll around. You know, it's actually fantastic to see all the activity on campus. Come in, sit at the bar, have a glass of rosé, or and then, like, you know, or a cocktail, and then sit at the table and, you know, have a little dinner.
Dinner and drinks are waiting for you at the new Naya Restaurant. 212 East Green Street, Champaign, in the heart of campus town.
You know what I don't like is paying so much money on a cell bill, and guess what? I don't do that anymore, thanks to Andy at Premier Sound.
How you doing, Lon?
Good.
Every single day, we see people come into the store with these $200, $300, $400 phone bills.
I had them.
It's crazy. Exactly, and so did I. I used to spend $150, $200 a month on a phone bill. Boost Mobile. Unlimited everything. Unlimited talk, unlimited text. We start off with 12 gigs of hotspot on all of our plans. $50 a month. We even have a $35 a month plan. You're not going to quite get unlimited everything on that. But for $50 a month, one person, we could go to two people for $80, wow. Unlimited everything. We could do three for $100. We could do four people for $100.
My goodness.
We could even do five people for $130 a month.
Whole family.
A month. No crazy taxes, no anything. You've got to check out Boost Mobile. I mean it. It's the coolest deal on the planet. No contract, no credit check. We could switch you, and we'll give you free phones. Yeah, you got to come see us. Free phones. Just switch to us, and we'll give you free phones.
Premier Sound.
Come see me. Corner of Prospect and Bradley in Champaign.
Hi, it's Stevie J. Sit back and relax and take the drive with Long Tay and Derek Piper. Weekdays 4 to 6 right here on ESPN Radio 93.5.
It is The Drive, ESPN Radio 93.5. Lonte, Trevor Valise, and Isaac Trotter all in studio. Isaac, you were in East Lansing, and we've got to tell the story. You wrote a great article right after the game, and I could tell when I was reading the article, I could feel your excitement. Just reading the article, I could just tell, I bet, when you were typing that, you were going 100 miles an hour. So explain what happened, because you were up in the press box, which is what normally the media does. You stay up in the press box, and then near the end of the game, you usually make your way down to the field for post-game interviews or then accompany the team to where you need to do the interviews. So you almost didn't make it down to the field.
Yeah,
so
it was.
Go
was
ahead
insane.
With the story. Right. That was great.
So here's how it went. And if you really want the full story, go to Atlanta Inquirer and read it.
Boom.
So, right? Because it's different than a sports story.
It is.
And that's the thing. Like, it was one of those things that I didn't really plan to do. And then all of a sudden afterward, I go, how do I tell a story differently? So I told my story on how it happened. Here's how it went. I'm up in the press box. It's Michigan State's driving down. Illinois finds a way to stop them, and they kick a field goal. So then I go, okay, there's a timeout. I'm going to get down to the field. Well, so I'm going to get right down to the field. Except the elevator guy is taking forever to get down there. And I'm just, like, hearing the crowd react. I'm like, oh, my gosh, I'm about to miss something. Illinois is within four. I get down to the field.
And he's in no hurry, by the way.
Oh, no hurry at all. So in East Lansing, the Spartan Stadium is a zoo of concrete. There's concrete everywhere, and you have no idea what's going on. And there's no signs. They're horrible on signs. So you go in and ask somebody, hey, where am I supposed to go to get on the field for the media? And they go, well, go to Section 18. Well, I go to Section 18. As I'm sprinting around, I hear, and there's a great catch by Caleb Reams, and you hear the Michigan State announcer go, that should have been picked off. That was an easy way, you know what I mean? And I get into 18, and I ask the person, hey, can I get down on the field here? And she has no idea.
Yeah,
the reader has literally
obviously you're in the wrong section.
And she has no idea what's going on. So then I'm flying around to get down to Section 25, and I whip my phone out just as Brandon Peters takes the snap to throw to Matter Bebe on 4th and 17.
Oh,
and
wow.
I thought the game was over. I'm just holding my phone up hoping something cool happens, and if not, I'm going to delete it, and something cool happened.
Uh-huh.
And Matter Bebe goes up, hauls it down. I run behind the Spartan sideline. I'm hearing all the fans just, like, screaming, like, how is Illinois doing this? I was told they were trash. Like, they're like, Graham Couch said that we're supposed to win by a lot, all of these different things. The Spartan sideline is dead.
I bet.
Just dead. They have no idea what's going on. And the biggest, most fun part of that was on fourth down and goal, right before the play, Caleb Reams looks right at me and points his hand at me and says, I'm about to do this. You know what I mean? Like, and I'm like, what are you doing? Why are you talking to me? You know what I mean? I know Caleb. I've done some stories on him. I'm like, why are you talking to me? Go win the game.
The awareness.
Cool. You know what I mean? And so.
Because he knew it was coming to him.
And the throw goes to him, and it goes off of his hand. And I thought, game is over. This is his fault for talking to me beforehand instead of worrying about catching it. And then the little yellow Here flag comes out. First down, Illinois. Pass interference on Michigan State. And Illinois wins the game. And I was right there at the 5-yard line. It was really cool.
That's gotta be cool.
I hate the fade.
Why did they, I hate the fade too. Why did they call the pass interference? Cause that happens a lot. I think it's because the defender never one time looked back at the ball.
Yeah,
right?
It happens a lot in the end zone.
It does.
He had both hands on Reams too. And I think Reams did a pretty good job of, like, his arm got kind of blocked going up to get it. So he could really only slip his left hand up to try to grab it.
Yeah.
So it was.
He made a great effort to catch it.
He really did try hard. So I think it was the right call. And it was pretty obvious right there just because that kid was, the cornerback was all over
him
holding an arm down. I do understand, though, the Michigan State side of it being like, really?
Yeah.
You're going to call it that time right there?
Exactly.
But by the letter of the law, that was pass interference.
Yep. Well, and that's why I say that. Obviously, any other day, that's a pass interference, right? If it's the third quarter in a game that is a 20-point game, they're going to call that every time. But in the moment, I thought, oh, no. So when the play happens right in front of you with Daniel Barker, what were you thinking? Dre Brown, of course, we mentioned, made the great block there on the outside linebacker coming in.
I didn't see the Dre Brown block at the on the field. I was looking at Brandon the whole time.
Well, you'll have to go back and watch. I mean, I've watched that play so many times that I was just picking out each person, even to the point where they showed the one where Brandon Peters talks a little smack.
That was awesome, wasn't it?
That's awesome, Brandon. Get in his face because that kid was talking it all game.
The real thought going through my head is, what is Illinois doing? Because they were substituting, and I'm just like looking up at the clock, and it's like 25, and
but like
21.
Barker came in that play.
Yeah, he did. And so like they're continuing to sub, and they're and there's that no timeouts. And I was like, what is going on? They're not going to get this off. And I'm standing next to Eric Fisher, who's one of my good buddies, a senior at Illinois. He writes for Rivals, and I'm like, snap the ball.
Right.
And then they snap it, and I'm just watching Brandon. I'm not even watching Daniel Barker.
Yep.
And then all of a sudden, just Brandon rifles this 15-yard, well, maybe about 20-yard, just bullet.
It was.
Barker standing wide open. And then when that happened, you just hear the corner of Illinois scream, and you just hear the rest of Michigan State go, oh.
Well, the defender just collapsed as soon as Barker caught it, because he was following Peters.
Sure.
In front of Barker.
Right. Safety went out of bounds.
Yeah.
He didn't realize what it was. And Barker was just so smart just to stop.
Mm.
Yep.
And in that moment, you know what I mean?
Like, not only that, but he held his hand up.
Right. And he didn't scream either because that would have brought the guy back. He just put his hand up really quick.
My instinct was I was worried that they were going to say he stepped out of the back of the end zone and back in.
Oh, okay.
I did not think that at all.
I was just a fatalist fan in that moment.
Isn't it horrible when you just immediately have your heart drops because you think there's going to be a yellow flag?
Well, there's so many flags.
There is. And it doesn't matter what you're watching. As soon, it's almost like when you've got a fantasy guy and he breaks off a 40-yard touchdown run.
Christian Kirk yesterday for me, three times.
The whole time you sit there going, all right.
Yep.
Wait for it.
Right. And then on the kickoff, again, being a fatalist, they take the ball at about the 15. Why don't you just fair catch it first of all?
I didn't get that either.
But I'm thinking, okay, so here comes the laterals.
Mm-hmm.
There's going to be one scary moment where one of the laterals looks like he's got 30 yards of open field. Instead, he just kind of saunters up to the 25 and gets tackled, and the game's over.
So after the touchdown, I like sprinted back down the Spartan sideline to get close to the opposite end zone so I could see it. So then I could be close to where Illinois was going to go celebrate.
Fair enough.
And so when that happened, I'm literally watching the back of Kirby Joseph and Devin Witherspoon run down the field, and all I'm thinking is, don't fall, don't fall, because if they fall, you know what I mean? Like it's over.
Yikes.
They're going to find something right there, but they found a way.
I want to take a break here in a second. Come back and talk about bowl destinations now that I know we're doing this every week, but that's fine. I'd rather do this than what coach is next, right? I mean, so I just want to, you know, now that we kind of know that Illinois could win, probably will win 7, maybe 8, we'll kind of look to see where they can go. But before we get there, I think it's a shame we haven't really discussed how studly Bebe was. I mean, Amator Bebe, the catch before halftime where he just literally just throws the guy off.
Do you want to know the funny story on that catch? here's the story behind that. That wasn't even supposed to happen. Illinois was trying to get 8 yards to get a field goal.
Oh, they
were going to
really?
Throw a Donnie Navarro on that one. And then the defensive lineman, Willekes came and tipped it out of Brandon Peters' hand. So he fumbled it a little bit.
Oh, that's true.
And just grabbed it. And he said, all I saw was Josh down there one-on-one. I was like, I'm going to throw it. And he's like, I hope he catches this or I'm getting absolutely cussed out on the sideline. Is what he that's what he said in post-game.
Well, he lost the ball for a second.
Yeah.
He was getting ready to throw it.
He totally did.
Bebe was awesome. And I just wanted them to throw to Bebe so much more often. Like, that's been my thing, I guess, this year. Just throw to Bebe. And
that
he is
stud.
So good. Like,
it's to the point where if there's like a 50-50 ball heading in his direction, I'm 95% convinced he's coming down.
He's made a big play against the best corners on Wisconsin.
Yep.
He's made a big play against the best corners against Michigan, and now Michigan State. Mm. You could argue those are the collection of corners. You're not going to find many corners as good as that outside of maybe like, I mean, LSU's got good corners. I mean, some of these other, obviously.
And guess what? He's back next year. We hope.
Well, we hope.
We hope he's back next year. So that would be incredible. It is amazing what he was able to do. And then Sidney Brown on the two interceptions, but especially the one that he scored on. What amazed me was Sidney Brown was in a dead stop when he catches that ball.
Almost looked like he had his knee down when he caught it.
He did. He totally did. And of course he didn't. But then he's fast. I mean, Michigan State, receiver.
And that was another one of those plays where, because it was such a, on TV at least, because you don't have a widescreen view, he starts running down the sideline and you're kind of thinking, okay, so like a 15-yard return. There was no one there. I mean, there were good blocks by Shabano and a few other guys on that play that completely opened up.
He just threw Lewerke about 5-10 yards. I loved it.
But it was the Cody White kid, the wide receiver for the Spartans. He was about 2 yards behind him when Sidney Brown caught it.
It felt like he could have dove to get him.
I thought he was close enough.
I did too.
Sidney outran him by like 12 yards. By the end of that, White wasn't even close to him. It's just absurd about
it was crazy
how fast that was. That was an unbelievable game filled with so many moments. Another moment I feel like we didn't talk about is Josh and Matterbaby just completely stiff-arming a dude to his grave in the middle of the field.
He spun his head around on his, shoulders when he threw him down.
He just chucked it with one arm. That was
incredible.
Cool.
I mean, you're talking about Dawson DeGroote.
Yeah.
Right. And Tolson being your linebackers for this game. I mean, it's just absurd.
It is. And I agree with you with regards to Milo. He did punch. What I meant earlier is that, we didn't see it because we were waiting for the Baylor Texas TCU game or whatever. So we literally didn't see. I had to look on my phone to see the replay of Milo throwing the punch. He's got to be better than that. He can't do that. So, you know, hopefully now against Iowa, you'll have him back. You'll have Hanson back.
Well, you get a bye week, yeah.
And you get a bye week. Tom said earlier in the game, Illinois slowly substituted on defense. Tom, we talked about that in the first segment. I agree that Michigan State, I thought, could have taken more time late in that game. And then an 8-4-0 said, nobody puts Bebe in a corner, then throws in the ball. Get it? Dirty
Dancing. I get it.
All right, that's smooth. All right, when we come back, what bowl game now? How many wins can Illinois get to, and where would they go? It's just fun to talk about. It's like Christmas. It's a drive.
At AutoZone, we're all about giving you more ways to get your car in shape for any season. With our AutoZone Rewards program, members get a $20 reward every time they spend $20 or more 5 times, which means you'll have more to spend on safety upgrades, like replacement headlights. Replacing dim headlights can boost your visibility so you can light up the road and drive with confidence, no matter the weather. See terms at AutoZone.com/rewards. Restrictions apply.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
Introducing the $1 concert deal.
Hello, Detroit! Good night, Detroit!
Or get a real deal at McDonald's. Introducing the buy one, get one for a dollar deal. Buy one of your faves and pick another for just an extra buck. Choose from the Big Mac, filet of fish, quarter pounder with cheese, or 10-piece chicken McNuggets. But you better stop by McDonald's today, because this deal is only around for a limited time. Prices and participation may vary. Valid for item of equal or lesser value. Cannot be combined with any offers or combo meal.
When your car breaks down, you realize just how much you need it. And when it breaks down, Beaumont Alignment Plus steps up. For routine maintenance like brakes, oil changes, tune-ups, batteries, and tires, you can count on Beaumont Alignment Plus. Bigger issues, including alignment, suspension work, starters, alternators, transmission, require specialists. So get to know Beaumont Alignment Plus for your vehicle repairs. With locations on Bloomington Road and Denison Drive in Champaign, you're never far from the help you need. It's good to know that quality service is still affordable at Beaumont Alignment Plus.
Napa know-how.
Right now, only at Napa, AAA members get a 20% discount. So you can avoid getting stranded on the side of the road by picking up some quality parts like batteries, brake pads, and more. Meaning you can prevent the problem before it ever becomes a problem. Bravo. That's 20% off for AAA members. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
At participating Napa Auto Parts stores. Exclusions apply. May not be combined with other offers. Offer ends 11/30/19.
Stay in the know with alerts from Prospect Bank. Our alert messaging system has been enhanced and now offers more notification opportunities than ever before. Do you want to know when a transaction occurs on your account or a balance hits a certain threshold? Log into online banking at bankprospect.com or through our e-mobile app to start utilizing alerts and never miss another notification. Sign up to receive alerts via email, text message, push notification, or your online banking secure inbox. It's smart, it's easy, it's alerts from Prospect Bank. Member FDIC, equal housing lender.
At the award-winning Honda BMW, if you buy any new Honda, now until the end of the year, there'll be a brand new television and a brand new bicycle in your backseat as you drive home. That's Honda's way of saying thank you. Plus, you can receive 0% financing for 72 months. That doesn't happen very often. Visit Honda BMW and ask about their new TV and bike and 0% financing for 72 months for a limited time. Honda BMW off Neil Burwash and Savoy or drivechampagne.com.
The Drive, ESPN Radio 93.5. Lance, Trevor Valise, Isaac Trotter, Derek Piper just happened to get stuck in Arizona. Couldn't fly back. Whatever. So we will talk to Pipes, though, at 5:05 after Illinois basketball loses last night, 90-69 to Arizona. So we'll tackle the basketball side of things next hour. Right now, we're still focused on Illinois football. They get the win against Michigan State, 37-34. They were down 28-3 at one point. It's the biggest comeback in Illinois football history. And once again, the defense shows up. Once again, they continue to make turnovers or create turnovers. It is amazing what they continue to do.
I didn't realize how much I'd love Happy Lovey.
Does that make sense?
Like Happy Lovey is awesome.
He's fun.
Like him on the shoulders and him laughing and the gif where he kind of just shrugs his shoulders after the Wisconsin game.
Or like bowling afterwards.
Yeah, right.
Bowling.
Yeah, that was cool. Like he's got some happy swag, if that makes sense. But we just haven't seen it until this point.
He grabbed Lisa Byington in the middle of all that and he kind of like pulled her off to the side to make sure she was safe.
Yeah,
like, and he's laughing. I'm like, I like this Lovey. All right, so Illinois, I'm just going to say it, okay? Illinois is going to beat Northwestern just for the sake of this discussion right now that we're going to have over the next 4 or 5 minutes. Illinois will beat Northwestern, so that's 7 wins. Just for the sake of right now, I say they don't lose or they don't beat Iowa.
How dare you?
I know. That's terrible.
I'm with you.
Let's say you finish 7-5.
Yep.
So now I think it's 7 wins. You've zoomed past the Detroit Quick Lane Bowl, correct? So now that puts you in the spot for like a Pinstripe Bowl. Now Alec, our intern, he loves that. He wants him to go to the Pinstripe Bowl at New York City, in New York at Yankee Stadium, which would be kind of cool. I'm not going to lie. There's the Gator Bowl in Jackson, Florida would be a fun one. The Tax Slayer Gator Bowl. There's the Music City Bowl that I've since day one said that's the one I want.
That's what you're zeroing
in Nashville. Oh, man, in Nashville.
I'm
the
zeroing
one there. Hey, by the way, I'm going to be there Friday. I'm going to be there this weekend.
Oh, yeah. Nice.
Did I tell you that?
No.
Oh, okay, I'm not here Friday.
Does that mean I'm filling in for him? Noted.
I think Pipes is here. I think I sent you guys an email on
you
that.
You did, but that wasn't in the email.
Oh, it wasn't?
Yeah, no, that was your Cayman's trip.
Oh, crap, yeah. Yeah, I'm getting ready. I'm going to Tempe and I'm going Grand Cayman, I got to get to Nashville. And guess what? I'll spend more money in Nashville than I will in Tempe in Grand Cayman.
Right.
I digress. I would love Music City Bowl against like Tennessee or a Kentucky, maybe.
It'd be fun to beat or play a name.
Yes.
Like we were talking about Florida State, Tennessee, somebody like that, because the name kind of supersedes the fact that team wasn't very good this year. It'd be fun to say it only beat Florida State in a bowl.
Not
playing
be.
Louisiana Tech. Right.
No,
yeah.
Amen to that. So what other games do you guys think? There's the Red Box Bowl that could give you a game against a Pac-12. Now, personally, I'd love to see a little Arizona State. Arizona State's got work, though, man. They're horrible
Arizona
right
State
now.
Arizona State or Cal. Those are Cal. Two teams that I think are like 5-4 right now.
And that's in Santa Clara, which you...
I'm zeroed in on that one because I've got family that lives in Santa Clara.
Nice.
So I'd definitely go to that one.
Okay, you'd like that one.
Isaac and I are both Music City.
There's Music City's probably my main one that I really like. There's one other that's escaping me that's in Fort Worth, too, that that Illinois could go to.
I think I know what you're talking about here. I'll look.
Fort Worth, Dallas area that you can play down there too. So I think that one is probably a decent chance they could get to, if especially to get to 7. Red Box is a good chance. I'm really all in on Music City, like you said. But I checked the last couple years, and in 2018 and 2017, the Big Ten teams that represented the conference in those games both had 8 or 9 wins.
Oh wow,
At Music City.
Okay.
So Northwestern was 9-3 and got chosen for that the year before. Or, Nebraska was the same
7
thing,
and
so.
5 feels very Pinstripe or Red Box.
I totally agree.
I think you're probably right.
Here's what it says on Music City. This is, I just Googled Big Ten affiliation of the bowl games. It says ACC Big Ten combine in the Music City and Tax Slayer, with each getting 3 appearances in 6 years. The Big Ten played in the Tax Slayer in 15. They've played in the Music City now 3 straight years. So it's almost certainly going to be the Tax Slayer.
And not the Music City?
Right. So in other words, it almost appears that the Big Ten will not. It looks like the ACC will get the team in the Music City Bowl. The Outback Bowl. Now, what was the one you said, the Red Box? That says agreement is for 5 different teams in 6 years. So no Indiana, Maryland, Michigan State, Nebraska, or Purdue, if possible.
Interesting.
So it looks like if you were going up, what teams out of those would even make
Indiana
for sure?
Michigan State still got Rutgers and Maryland left.
Okay. So it sounds like Illinois would get the nod over those two in that game. I think you've passed the Armed Forces Bowl. You've passed the Quick Lane Bowl. The Pinstripe, as mentioned, the Holiday Bowl versus the Pac-12. Agreement is for 5 different teams.
That usually seems like a 9-win versus 9-win type of
thing. That's a good bowl.
It is a good bowl, and that's in San Diego, by the way. So agreements for 5 different teams in 6 years, so no Michigan State, Minnesota, Nebraska, Northwestern, or Wisconsin, if possible.
Michigan will probably get that
on the Holiday Bowl. Yeah, I could see that. And then the Outback Bowl agreement for 5 different teams in 6 years.
That's too good again.
No Iowa, Wisconsin, Michigan, or Northwestern. You'd have to get to 8 wins to get to Outback,
yeah.
I think.
I think if you're 7-5, you're looking squarely at Pinstripe, Tax Slayer, or Red Box.
Okay, that's fine with me. Alec, what you want the Pinstripe, don't you? I think you're the one in New York City. You want the Pinstripe? Is your mic on in there? Flip it on. There you go. All right. Can I hear you? No, you're not on. All right. We'll figure
Ron
that out.
Ron just doesn't want you to talk.
No, I promise. I've got him on. I don't know what's going on. Did you flip the thing? Well, anyway, so the Pinstripe Bowl, that'd be interesting.
The only thing I don't love about that is just the open air press box. That'd be really cold.
That'd be really, really cold.
Based on where the press box is, you might not have the greatest view of the stadium.
True.
Because it's a baseball.
So it'll be interesting to see how that one turns out.
That would be really cool.
Yeah. Although, New York City, I've never been there. It would be kind of cool to be there maybe for a day or two, but it'd also be kind of annoying after 3 or 4 days. I'd be really like, I'm really done with this.
I'm not a huge New York City guy.
I'm not either. I've been once. Couldn't wait. I mean, I enjoyed my three or four days.
It's an experience, but, like, I would never want to live there.
Right.
We tried to find a B-dubs. We finally found it after walking for, like, 10 blocks. I don't know why we wanted to go to B-dubs in downtown New York.
Because you know it.
And the small wing was, like, $24.95.
Wow. Oh.
And I said to the lady, I said, why is it? She said, well, it's Times Square, New York. I'm like,
okay.
One thing to think about, too, with this bold discussion, think about if Minnesota and Ohio State run the table to the Big Ten title game, Minnesota might have a chance here to make the college football playoff.
That's crazy.
With
That's
Ohio State, you know what I mean?
Crazy.
Like, you could have 2 Big Ten
so
teams.
So you're saying if Minnesota was 12-0 going into that game against Ohio State and beat Ohio State in a close game, you're saying both of them might be able to get in?
Possibly.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, like, there's a
thus
possible
elevating
chance.
Everybody
just
else.
Just elevating, everyone else. So there could be, like, I'm just saying, like, it's out there.
I still don't like Minnesota.
I still would have rather had Penn State win.
We got to cut out. Isaac, thanks for coming in, buddy.
No problem. Anytime.
Appreciate it. And we'll get Alec on next hour to talk about his Pinstripe Bowl, because I know he wants to do that. 5:05 coming up. Derek Piper going to join us from Arizona. Then we'll do a little bit of drive time.
And Stever at 5:30.
Oh, and Stever. Yeah, go Stever at 5:30. It is The Drive.
This episode of The Drive with Lante and Derek Piper is brought to you by Two Men in a Truck, Movers Who Care. Visit them online at twomenchampagne.com for a free estimate.